spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned today during the first hour. We'll be joined by Coach Wade Johnson for the Get Strong Show. Lots of insightful discussion, I can promise you, during the first hour. The second hour, we're going to be joined by Jill Ciccarelli, and we're going to talk about Fermented, a four-season approach to paleoprobiotic foods. We know the importance of probiotics. We know the importance of gut flora. What's a better way than just taking probiotics, understanding how to ferment your own foods and what they can do for you? So that's during the second hour. Coach Wade Johnson, how are you, sir?
Great to be with you, Carl. Always good to be with you.
Yeah, and we decided to do this show because of some discussions we've been having offline, so to speak, on the phone. So let's start out with this first of all. You have vacillated over the years where you've told me, hey, it's time for me to cut weight for my health, but then it's hard to let go of the strength that you've acquired. So you've decided to compete again, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things we've talked on the show the past couple of years off and on. I've trained for certain events, and something has taken place life-wise, as we've discussed as well, and the plans get changed. And, you know, when I last competed in powerlifting 3 years ago, this coming February, I was probably 360 pounds. My heaviest was 365, and I knew at that meet, you know, that I had given everything I had, you know, and that it was time for me to make some changes. And
well, wait. Now, for people who have never heard this show, and because we have a lot of new audience members coming aboard, for those who've never heard the show, let's talk about what you totaled in those in that particular event. Your squat was what?
I squatted 1040. I benched 700 and I deadlifted 660. I had attempted the 660 deadlift was my second attempt, and I had about 4 weeks out. I had injured my knee. I re-injured my knee. It was an old knee injury that had absolutely nothing to do with my training or competing. It was something unrelated, and it's something that has, you know, bothered me off and on. And about 4 weeks out, I injured it. And what I was worried about was my squat. And it turns out, you know, my squat was okay. My second deadlift, 660, was to secure the 2,400-pound total, which had been my lifetime goal. And hyperextended the knee right at lockout because I was going to what my original plan was is that I would total pro. I had totaled elite several times. And I was going to compete at the pro-am with a bunch of the young guys, just, you know, to be the token old guy having a good time. And I had to retake the 660 because I knew that I could not go through another training cycle like I did, you know, to lift the weight that I was lifting. So I pulled real slow, made sure I was under control because the knee was really, really sore, and managed to pull the weight and total 2,400 pounds.
Okay,
and
so but you say 1040, you know, that almost diminishes the value of the fact that you squatted a half of a ton, 1,040 pounds. I mean, to most people, getting under a bar that narrow and having it bear down 1,000 pounds is like a cheese cutter. It's like a cheese wire. I mean, that weight wants to go through your body, and not only are you supporting it, but you're sitting down and standing back up with it technically.
Yeah, and just to give you an idea, you know, I tell people there's a price to pay for whatever we do, regardless of what our endeavor is. You know, there's a price to pay. And for me, fortunately, I mean, I've got a few nagging little injuries, but, you know, I've never had to have surgery. You know, I've never, you know, It's nothing that has been long term. I broke my foot training. When I was unloading a machine, a plate fell off, broke my foot, and the next week I tested a new squat suit that someone sent me and squatted 800 pounds. You know, so it was one of those things that, you know, I've been very, very fortunate to have nothing so major that one of, you know, not only could I not compete, but I couldn't train. I've managed to, you know, I think by nature of how I train and in the conditioning, but, you know, just being very, very lucky. So, one of the badges of courage, so to speak, from squatting, you know, that type of weight and training that weight is across my back where the bar sits. And even to this day, even though I'm not squatting near that weight anymore, you can see the haze, the callus, you know, because we use squat bars that are not your typical 45-pound commercial gym.
Yeah, because they would bend otherwise. They would bend.
I've actually torn up a few regular bars training. So, you know, early on when I started building the gym, we went with things that are made for squatting, super heavy weight, and I have there's a permanent mark on my back that you can feel the callus and see it.
But okay, so now so that was the last event that you actually trained for to reach one of the, I mean, obviously the career highs in your goals, right?
That meet, the powerlifting meet before that, I had deadlifted 700 pounds. That was when I started out. That was, you know, the goals that I set out originally were an 800 pound squat, a 500 pound bench, and a 700 pound deadlift. And we honestly thought when I started competing that the deadlift would be the first one to come, and ultimately it was, because I changed my goal from 800 to 1,000 when I eclipsed 800.
Right.
And the lift that I had the most trouble with at the time, especially early on in my career, was the bench press. And so a lot of training, which, you know, the bench training that I use now was developed, you know, to help me, you know, overcome bench being my albatross, so to speak. So I had, once those lifts had been eclipsed, my goal was to squat 1,000, bench 7, and deadlift 7, and total 2,400. And so I had reached the 700 pound goal, the previous meet, and then, broke 1,000 and benched. So I'd benched more than 700 in the gym, but I'd never done it in a meet.
Now, after that, you and I actually were still communicating at that point in time, and you said to me, you know, I'm getting up in age now, and I don't feel like it's wise for me to continue to carry this amount of body weight around.
Yeah, I had been the highest I'd ever weighed on a scale, and I could have weighed heavier, I don't know, was 365 pounds, and probably day of meet 3 years ago, I was probably 350 to 360, you know, just depending on how it landed on that particular day. And, you know, I was 45, you know, and it's like, I need to think about, you know, not being this, hey, I've reached my goals, you know, do I just keep going and taking, you know, a huge, even regardless of how lean I was, I wasn't lean at 365.
Right.
I mean, I carried a huge amount of muscle mass, but I was not lean by any stretch. And, you know, so I'd beaten my body up. I had, you know, sacrificed a whole lot to, you know, not only compete, you know, like that and train like that, but to have a gym and a side business. And it was time for me to, you know, to back off.
What was your lightest after that? How you lost a lot of weight? What was your lightest?
I got down to the lowest I weighed, and this has been in the last 6 months, was 302.
Okay,
that has changed only a little bit because I finally was coerced into, you know, it's like, look, I'm 48. And I keep saying I'm going to compete, and I keep training for a meet, and then something happens. And, you know, while life is still a little unsettled, it's
much more settled than before.
Well, it's more than it was 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where it's like, you know, go ahead, commit, get it done, you know, and then push on, because the goal at this point is to lift at 308, and my weight's fluctuating right now at a good spot between 310 and 317. And
Okay, now I want to take a break because here's what I want to talk about when we come back. What is your strength like at 308? What was your strength like when you got down below that, you know, when you were down to 302? What are the differences in how it makes you feel? We're talking with Coach Wade Johnson. This is the Get Strong show with Coach Wade Johnson, but I'm interviewing him because, well, you're going to see. This is going to come to a culmination during the interview. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
He's your personal watchdog.
Is anyone awake up at Capitol Hill?
Sniffing out the corruption in our healthcare policies.
You are literally selling the population of this wonderful country to a death sentence.
He's Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On the Superhuman Radio Network.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable, but finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey and all its natural glory. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WayNaturalUSA.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yo, mic check, mic check. Yeah, here you go. He over here. Yeah, I heard he got that.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. So, when you drop this weight, did you also experience a drop in strength?
Well, the odd part, and we've discussed this before, is as I was coming down, like the first 20 pounds when I got down to 340, I noticed nothing. I mean, there was, you know, and there was the videos that I posted on your Facebook page to prove that, even at 330. It was once I dropped below 320, and then especially at 310, that it just plummeted. And, you know, like I said, the past couple of years, life has been somewhat tumultuous at different given times, and that has contributed, but, When I got down to the 320 range after dropping about 45 pounds, the strength level really, really dropped. Not to mention that I was, you know, getting older as well. That may or may not contribute, but definitely after the 45 pound weight loss is when I saw a big dip in strength.
Now, how did that make you feel? Did you get depressed? Did you get sad? Did you get panicked? Did you say, oh, no, I got to go back up?
Well, I knew that I couldn't go back up to weighing 350 pounds. That, you know, I think it is depressing. It's one of those things where, you know, I'll give you an example. This morning, I was doing Thursdays when I do close grip declines. And, in training for the meet, I had dropped the weight a little bit and focused on some different things as opposed to just weight. And, today, my working sets were 485, 490 for for a set of six apiece, and then 475 for eight. And something that's also different is the crew of people that I train with. Lots of the guys that I were training with, you know, that were elite level lifters and so forth, you know, have moved on or you know, or whatever the case may be. And there's a new crop of people and, you know, they're having to learn, you know, to hand off this weight and, you know, how to spot, you know, 600, 700, 800 pounds in the squat and so forth. And so this morning, the guy that's really trying hard to learn to hand off to me, he goes, man, 490 pounds. I felt like I needed a belt so I could, you know, spot you.
That doesn't make you feel good.
Well, and it's one of those things where you go, man, you know, cause I had gone through my YouTube channel looking for a specific video for someone and saw when I was at my biggest and strongest when I did 585 for six, you know, and then, I mean, that's when it was nutty. I mean, I was huge though.
Right.
And, so it's one of those things where it's a constant battle. You know, I'll get frustrated, you know, training with a weight, you know, that would be in, you know, wouldn't even be my last warm up when I was, you know, squatting 1,000 pounds. And, you know, and now it's a lot more of a struggle. I won't kid you.
Right. Right.
And so it's, you know, you get to the point where you identify, you know, it's part of who you are.
Yes.
You know, everywhere I go. Now, let's not kid ourselves. You know, I'm still 300 to 315 pounds most days. So I'm by far not a small person.
Right.
But I'm nowhere near, you know, the size, you know, like when you saw me when I was at my biggest.
Right.
Because at that point, you know, I was just physically imposing. And, so, you know, you start, it's part of who you are. It, you know, you identify with, I'm big weight, I'm an elite level, you know, multi, you know, this, I've won this, I've got this lift, you know, I'm on the all-time list. And when you can't do that anymore, it, you know, it really messes with you. And so there's a lot of things that I've had to do in order, as ridiculous as it sounds, in order to cope with not being the man that I used to be.
Okay, so newsflash to a lot of people out there that have been following this is that I've decided not to have my hamstring surgery. And it's been I've been vacillating. There's when I stack up the benefits versus the risks of having the hamstring surgery, the things I don't like about having the surgery far outweigh the things that I'm hopeful it will do for me. Not to mention that the physician, and Dr. Seeds is probably listening to this and he's probably going, are you kidding me? After all the hard work that I used to find this guy who was the LA Lakers and the LA Dodgers orthopedic surgeon and he can do this surgery and he does them all the time. You know, when I met with him the other day, wonderful guy, Dr. Stephen Smith, he said to me, you know, he laid me down on the table. He checked me out. He says, you know, your hamstrings feel pretty tight. He goes, one of the problems with guys like you who, you know, do a lot of weightlifting is the hamstrings get tight. He said, we really won't know until we get you open whether or not we can extend the hamstrings enough to get them reattached, because if there's any tension on them at all, they'll pull right off the bone again, like, you know, that next day, for instance. He said, I said, so you're saying you're going to get me open and determine whether or not this is even feasible? He said, yes. He goes, now I feel good about it. He goes, we should be able to, because we're going to give you general anesthesia. We're going to give you propofol. And that's something I was totally against, general anesthesia. Those who have been following this know that I had no interest in general anesthesia. I wanted a epidural like they give to women, where they just block out the lower half of your body by giving you a spinal. And he said, absolutely not. He goes, I need you completely out at every muscle relaxed, because I need to be able to pull these muscles back up and to fix them back to the bone. So that kind of made me think, right? Then that's the idea of, I would be on crutches for 6 weeks. Well, other people will do this 3-4 weeks. He insists that 6 weeks on a, wearing a brace that would not allow me to straighten my leg out completely. And the idea of being on crutches, given the workload and all that I've got in the air right now for 6 weeks, how do I go up and down stairs? You know, how do I get in and out of the studio, in and out of the car? How do I travel? I've got to fly to LA in a week or so. You know, what do I do? And then, so that actually kept me up one night. Like, how am I going to, I mean, my life is up in fourth gear right now with all the duties and responsibilities. And I've got a lot of plates in the air with the TV show and everything else, and a lot of financial, stress that will not allow me to skip a beat. If I skip a beat, then it's certain disaster. I have to keep this pace. And I'm thinking, how am I going to keep this pace? You know, with on crutches for six weeks. Never mind how am I going to function in the house and in the studio and everything else. So that was one of the things. And then when I went for my pre-op test, the girl said, oh, you have an irregular heartbeat. Now, I know I have an irregular heartbeat. It was actually worse a year ago when I discovered that I had sleep apnea and reversed it myself by sleeping it with an MRD. In fact, Wade, I've talked to you about this. While I was squatting heavy, my heart would actually start slowing down, where I would get lightheaded and almost fall down. And, you know, this is so much better today than it was. And a year from now, it'll be back to normal. I know this, with cardio and not gasping for air every night. I mean, I'm not snoring like I used to snore. I'm not gasping for air. So I've remedied, but if I have to go to a cardiologist to get this surgery, he's going to want to put me on, blood thinners. He's going to want to put me on, something to control the beat of my heart, like digoxin or, one of these other drugs. He's going to want to, and I'm not getting on that train. And I know people out there thinking, Carl, you're crazy. No, I understand the risks. I am keeping my blood thin on its own with white willow bark, ginger extract, fish oil, vitamin E. I mean, I know my blood is thin because when I inject myself twice a week, I can see it trickling down my leg, and it's like red water. Okay. But they would want me to come off of my supplements and go on, Coumadin or warfarin or some other rat poison that I know is no good for me. I'm not getting on that train. I'm sorry. And I'm not being reckless. That, and I tried to explain to them, look, it's a lot better than it was a year ago, and it's going to be a lot better, but they don't want to hear it. They want me to go to see a cardiologist and get on meds to get the surgery. And so, and then on top of that, my wonderful healthcare plan, Anthem, which is top of the line healthcare. Well, I have a $2,500 deductible for surgeries. So, I'd have to, and they only cover 70%, which means that I would not only have to pay the $2,500, but I would have to pay some other amount of money. So I think they estimated it would be like $4,600 out of pocket to have this surgery. And when I put all these things together, and then the final assault to my confidence was, he said, look, now we can do this, and you can do all the right things to make this heal. And 6 months, a year from now, you could be in great shape and you could start training. And a year and a half, 2 years from now, you could pull those right off the bone again, deadlifting. So you're not going to be able to deadlift like you used to deadlift anyway. And he made it very clear to me. He said, let me be clear about something. He said, if you are a professional athlete, this just ended your career. Even if we reattach it, you're not going to play football, basketball, baseball, whatever it is you were playing, not doing it anymore. Because the integrity of the muscle on the bone is not going to ever be what it was before. And so I start weighing all these things out, and then I got to go under the knife, and maybe and I thought to myself, you know what? It's just not in the cards. And when I made that decision, I cried, because I have, part of my personality is that I identify with being a strong, and the deadlift and the squat have always been my best lifts because I'm a posterior chain dominant athlete. And I've had to come to grips with the fact that me deadlifting 225 pounds, more than 225 in my future with or without the surgery is probably the maximum. And I may be able to squat again, but I'm probably not going to be able to squat the way I had hoped to. And it's been heartbreaking for me. I'm depressed. I really am. Because so much of my personality, my identity has been built around my strength. And it's sad to me. It's really, really sad. It's and believe me, if I thought that going for the surgery and getting on the Coumadin and doing all those things would make it different, it won't, because you know what? I'm still never going to be what I was before this injury. End of story. And so now I move forward in my life, making peace with this and finding other ways to satisfy my hunger for physical culture and strength. And it's sad. I'm telling you, I'm depressed. I'm sad about it.
Well, it's the very thing, you know, that I've had to deal with. And fortunate for me, you know, I'm surrounded by guys. For people that don't know, my son got married back in June. I think we've talked about that. And he and his wife have moved back to Mount Juliet, where I live. And so he's actually in the gym quite frequently. And having him back in the gym has been a godsend. And he's, you know, Wes at one time, like when you met Wes, was, even for a 17-year-old kid, was a giant.
Oh, forget about it. For a 40-year-old man, he was a giant.
You know? Well, and I mean, you know, world-class strength at 16, 17 years old. And, you know, he decided his heaviest body weight, I think we talked, was between 340, 345, something like that.
Right.
And he is currently 235, 240. And
he's ripped, and he looks great. He looks like a bodybuilder.
Oh, he doesn't even look like the same person. You know, but he said, you know, at first, you know, he dealt, you know, it was kind of depressing, you know, but he had a goal in mind. And, you know, and that's the thing that he keeps reminding me. He goes, you said it to me when I started, you know, losing weight. You know, leverage is going to change. You're going to go through the process. It's not going to be easy. But he goes, you got a goal set, you know, for, you know, the body weight that you're going to be at. And then you have goals, you know, beyond that. And I've got some other guys in the gym, that were teenagers when I started coaching them and now train with the morning crew. And he goes, you know, I'll go, man, I used to be so strong. He goes, yeah, and you used to be 60 and 70 pounds heavier, you know. So it's one of those things where, you know, it helps to have people around you helping you, you know, keep you in check. And you have to come to grips, you know, with the fact that, you know, especially, you know, neither one of us are young men. We're not old and ancient, but we're certainly not young men anymore.
Right, right.
And, you know, and you can't lose the kind of weight, you know, and have life changes like that and it not have some sort of effect, you know. So, you know, the benefit being is, you know, now I'm 60 pounds lighter, you know, so hopefully you're healthier, you know, and that sort of thing. And, I mean, there just comes a point in everyone's life where you just simply can't do the things that you used to. And so you have to find a way to work around that and to have a goal that keeps everything you do goal-oriented and to be positive. And that all sounds really simple, and it is, but it is not easy. It's really hard to go, I used to do my last warm-up in briefs with 775 before I even put my suit on. You know,
right.
I used to open up with almost 1,000 pounds in the squat.
Right.
You know, and there's no way in hell I would even imagine getting under 1,000 pounds right now.
Yeah. And I want to talk about this when we come back, the things that you say to yourself, because I'm saying a lot of things to myself and I think it's working. But I want to talk about that when we come back, because, you know, we did a show with Brooks Kubik recently about the mentality of overcoming obstacles. And interestingly enough, Brooks' initial story was how he had to give up wrestling after he destroyed his shoulder. And I was totally floored by that, because I thought he was going to say, but I came back and I worked at it. And he said, you know, sometimes overcoming an obstacle, he didn't say this, but what he meant was sometimes overcoming an obstacle requires not working hard to reattain what it is that you feel that you've lost, but instead to make peace with the fact that you have to move in a different direction. I want to talk about that when we come back. We're talking with Coach Wade Johnson. Wade, plug your websites real quick.
You can find me on weightliftingdiscussion.com. That's where we have the forum for training. And I have a personal Facebook page, and you can reach me at supersquat800@yahoo.com.
There you go. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Highlighting the hypocrisy in government, one meal at a time.
The USDA and the FDA going after small family farms. They're telling these farmers that by selling direct to end users like you and I, because they're outside the jurisdiction of the USDA and the FDA, the USDA says it's dangerous to be buying from these farmers. Really? And we're all thriving buying from these farmers, but the USDA and the FDA said, no, you're wrong. You may not think that because you're not getting sick that something's wrong, but we know there's something wrong.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Are you still putting toxic toothpastes in your mouth? Still brushing with sodium lauryl sulfate, which is related to canker sores and gum recession? You've heard a lot of people in the Superhuman Nation talk about how much they love AuraMD. Carl and Elisa won't brush with anything else. Now get a free bottle of AuraMD and see what all the excitement's about. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AuraMD banner ad today. You cover shipping and we'll give you a free bottle for first-time customers only. What are you waiting for? The best toothpaste alternative is just a click away.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. So, like anything in life, you know, you go through different stages of emotions, right? You go through the emotions of anger and sadness and regret and denial. And so, I started thinking about, well, look, there's a lot of guys I know in the gym have fantastic physiques, and they don't train legs the way I do. They don't deadlift the way I do. So maybe it's a good idea for me to kind of back it down and start training more like a bodybuilder. I'm trying to see things through different eyes now. Is that just a way of me coping with the disappointment, you think, or is that really a valid way to start looking at things?
Oh, I think it's very valid. I mean, it's one of those things, when something like that happens, whatever the case may be, whether it's an injury, you know, things, and, you know, you can make all the plans you want to, and then life happens. You know, when you find out where you are, using your injury as an example, you've got to make a determination. Here is what I can realistically do, and here is what I absolutely can't do. So there, it's absolutely a good thing to find a positive spin and go, okay, how do I create some new goals for myself? How do I work around what is going to be a deficiency or an issue, and still be able to pursue the things that make me happy? I mean, physical culture is something that, I mean, it's your life. I mean, it's your livelihood. It's what you do. It's not part of who you are. It is who you are.
Right, right.
So you have to find a way, you know, to create positivity and to find a way to keep what you do, you know, goal oriented, or what's the point in doing it? You know, then all this becomes just a mundane job, and you might as well be flipping burgers or whatever the case may be, and that's not what you want to do. So it's a huge positive thing, and that's when I came to peace with the fact, you know, these life changes have happened. I have to deal with them. Ultimately, we all have to make a decision, and this is true for your gym, athletic endeavors, just life in general. When things happen, you have to make a conscious decision how this is going to affect you. And I'll give you a great example. I work one day a week. I help a friend of mine that owns a golf course. I go out there and I help them do a few odds and ends things. And there's a young man out there, and I can't remember his last name, so I won't mention his name. But he is a double amputee. I can't remember both, I think from the ankle, you know, down, both legs have been amputated. And so he uses prosthetics and is a long driving champion, that, you know, for the Paralympics. I've watched him hole one at Nashboro Golf Course. I want to say is roughly 350 yards to the pin, and I've seen him drive it past that. You know, so like I've bitched about losing 60 pounds and not being as strong. This guy has no feet.
Yeah.
This guy has no feet, and instead of bitching about it, he has found a way to compete athletically. This guy's a bull. I mean, when he stood up and walked over to us and got, you know, loosening up to tee off, I was like, I'd love to get this guy in the gym. You know, I mean, he is a bull.
Right.
Just as unassuming, you know, and unless you knew, you probably wouldn't know, you know, that he had prosthetic feet on.
Wow.
And this guy's driving, you know, I will not be surprised within the next 3 to 4 months that he's not driving the golf ball 400 yards.
That's amazing.
It's ridiculous.
Well, and that's another thing I've been saying to myself. I've been saying to myself, well, look, there are people that are born without abilities, born without functioning body parts, and they overcome. And so I just need to learn how to work around this problem. And quite frankly, I got to tell you something. In day-to-day life, there is nothing that happens to me that says, oh, my hamstrings are torn, right? Because even both Dr. William Seeds and this doctor that I met said, look, here's how it works with hamstrings. You tear one, we don't do surgery at all. You tear two, we may do surgery. You tear three, we have to do surgery. He said, so you're really in that zone of, you don't need to do this surgery. You can compensate, you can make your leg stronger, you can, you know, do things with it and still function. Dr. Seed said the same thing to me numerous times. Carl, you don't have to do the surgery. You could probably get your leg pretty strong and overcome this to a certain degree. Granted, you may not be able to deadlift what you've done before. Because I would be stupid to. I don't want to tear the one good muscle off the leg, obviously. And we've talked about that. And so I started thinking, you know, maybe this is a good challenge for me. Maybe I feel like I've gotten knocked down a couple pegs here. I really do. And maybe that's really a good thing for me. Maybe, because you know what? I used to be much more respectful of the sport. And quite frankly, the reason I'm injured is I lost respect for it, because if anybody heard how I did this, you know that what I did was tantamount to a 500-pound stiff leg deadlift because I didn't screw myself back into the platform and get into position and drop my ass down and get into position like I was supposed to. I just bent over, grabbed the bar, and brought my butt down. And guess what? My butt came up first, and I basically did a stiff leg deadlift with 500 pounds. And quite frankly, I was just about 10% away from completing it when they popped. So I lost respect. I lost my focus. I lost my drive, my hunger. I lost the salient characteristics that made me get to where I am. So shame on me. And you know what? Life kicked me in the gut and said, you know what, fool? You think you really are starting to believe you're superhuman. We got to straighten you out a little bit. And so now I got to learn how to work around this, how to build my legs without damaging any more of them. And that's probably going to be a bigger challenge for me now.
Yeah, it's one of those things when after the meet was over, when I totaled 2,400, I knew that my knee had been compromised. I probably drove about an hour. It's probably about a 3-hour drive home from the meet, and I stopped to get some water, and when I stood up, I could feel the knee really give way, and I thought I might be in trouble here.
Right.
And you know my aversion to doctors is well documented.
Right.
It's like this thing's going to have to be hanging off, or, you know, there's going to have to be bad things happening before I'm even going to call a doctor.
Right.
So I walked it off, so to speak, and over time it got better. But for the longest time, I couldn't decline because, you know, torquing myself into the decline bench, it
yeah,
hurt
right.
my knees.
Right, because you have to put your ankles underneath that pad, right?
Sure. And yeah. then for the longest time, I couldn't front squat, just simply because I, you know, after, you know, a couple hundred pounds, it would just bother the knee so bad. So it had a negative effect on my training. Now, over time, I've rehabbed it and iced it and took my supplements. You know, and I'm nowhere near the old weights that I used to do, but in that time since the meet, I've front squatted 500 pounds again, and I've deadlifted over 600. And I think before I dipped down below 320, I'd squatted a couple of singles with 880, you know, in the old
right.
gear, you know, which again, I mean, all that's fairly respectable
that's
weight.
That's really, of
you
course.
Know, but I mean, it's, again, it's nowhere near, you know, what I used to do. So, you know, it's, for me now, the thing that I have to look at is, okay, one is it tells me that I was extremely blessed and totaling the 2,400 pounds drug-free and at 45 years old was probably a lot more remarkable of a feat than I gave it credit
yes.
for. I'll be honest. I took it for, you know, I was like, hey, I busted my ass. I busted my ass for 20 years and gave my life to this. You know, so I deserved it, you
right.
know, and the answer to that is no, you didn't. You were very lucky. God was looking out for you. And then, yeah, there is a payoff to all that hard work and, you know.
But there's a lot of guys who work just as hard as you and never hit those numbers.
Absolutely. And never have, who have gassed up and all that. And I'm not diminishing anybody for you do what you want to do, but they'll never see those numbers no matter how hard they work. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you need to hang your hat and make positive of what you've done. And, you know, so now what can you do? Well, I mean, how many 48-year-olds are squatting 800 pounds?
Yeah.
I mean, where is that going to put me, you know, in the realm of the 308ers? You know,
right.
it's not going to be anywhere near all time, you know, but where is it going to be with guys that are, you know, over 40?
Right.
You know, and it's like with the Olympic lifting, you know, I was so close to qualifying for Masters Nationals. You know, what's wrong with that being a goal and doing my best? You know, because I'll still give the young guys a run for their money, but the guys that are young and strong, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you know, they're going to be better. You know, the newer generation, you know, it's like Wes when he was coming up. There was no such thing as a teenager, you know, at 17 years old at the time squatting 800 pounds.
Right.
You know, and the generation that's coming up now, I mean, I'm working with some kids that are 12 and 13 years old that they're probably going to be pausing raw over 300 pounds, which
really?
Is ridiculous. You know, but it's, you know, we train differently, we eat differently. I mean, it's just, you know, humanity has changed,
yeah.
you know, each generation dramatically. So for me, it's like there are moments where it's very frustrating. I get really angry. you know, but then I have to keep in mind, you know, there's a good chance that at 275, if I ever decide to gear up, and I've kind of promised myself that this meet would be my first and last at 308 in equipment. I mean, it's just, you know, the equipment has changed so much, the learning curve is so high, you know, that, and I've got other focuses now, especially now with Wes partnering up with me in the gym, and that's a whole different conversation. But, you know, priorities change and things of that nature. So I guess what I would suggest that people take away from that when they're facing things like this, don't focus on what you don't have or what you can't do. Let's look at what you can do and what you can do to address any weakness or issue or injury, and then set goals, you know, around those things. And that's what keeps me going. I mean, it's, you know, not to mention the feedback I get from the people that I work with and stuff like that, but there's just a point where, you know, I'm not going to be 365 pounds. I'm 3 years older, you know, and I'm at the age now where 3 years is significant.
Yeah.
You know, when you're 20 and you get 23, you're still climbing the hill.
Right. Right. No,
you
know,
when you're 45 and now you're 48, you know, it's just a different ball game. And, yeah. You know, I know you can relate. I know a lot of people can relate.
Oh, and this injury has made me also recognize my age because, let's do this. Let's take this last commercial break, and I want to share this with everybody about the discussion I have with the doctor. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
He's Carl Lenore.
The brainless people at the FDA need to be convinced that arsenic is not good for humans to consume. Because the FDA feels a little bit more research needs to be done before we're considered that this particular arsenic is dangerous.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. Whey Natural USA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. Whey Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. Whey Natural USA.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
A special offer from Rob Regish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus when you order. Go to the BlueprintBulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com and get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat? Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable, but finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba, Extra Edge colostrum powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, Jill Ciccarelli is going to come on and talk about fermented foods and how you can ferment your own foods. Okay, so when Dr. Smith met with me, he was inclined not to do the surgery anyway. He says, because, look, you're 55 years old. And his attitude was, look, you're 55 years old. Like, what do you need fully functioning hamstrings for, you know? And so I said, look, I'm not trying to be a tool, but can I show you some things? And I happen to have some videos of me deadlifting, hip thrusting, squatting on the power squat machine and so on. And I just played a couple of them for him, and he looked up at me and goes, wow, this is really impressive. And immediately said, okay, we'll do the surgery. And while that was a nice twist of events, when he said, you know, you're 55 years old, it rang a bell for me. I was like, wow, I'm 55 years old. I'm like, 5 years away from 60. I'm old. I'm at that point now where it's like, why invest in fixing the car? You just get a new car later on. I mean, don't put any money into this car. It's old and broken down. I thought, oh my God, like that's the guy I am now. I'm the old guy. And I got to tell you something. Between losing my sister recently, this injury and some of the attitudes that I've seen, it's like, it was very sobering. It's like, holy crap, you know, I don't have a lot of wick left on the candle here, you know?
Well, it's a tough thing. It's one of the things that I tell my guys, and I've got several guys that are in their early 20s. I go, one of the things that, as a coach, that is such a cool thing to see is you see there is so much road for these guys to travel. But it is a constant reminder when I look in the mirror to go, you know, there is more road behind me than is ahead of me.
Yeah.
You know, let's say, you know, I lose weight and it adds 10 years to my life and I live another 25 years, you know, still, I mean that, you know, or another 20 years. I mean, that only puts me at 68 to 73 years old. You know, and it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I tell people all the time, understand that, you know, the clock is ticking, and this is finite. We all punch in and we all punch out, you know, but it's, you know, you have these life experiences like, well, for instance, your sister and my parents, you know, when we're growing up and even when we're in our 20s and your parents are alive, your grandparents are alive, you know, you don't see that ceiling. And, you know, right. When I spoke at my father's funeral, you realize, hey, you know, I'm it now, you know,
yeah.
I'm the people that I used to look to, you know, when I was growing up, you know, there are no grandparents, there are no parents, you know, they've all passed on. And that is a very, very sobering thing. And I say that not to be negative, because here's the point I want to make. We are blessed to be alive. We are blessed to have the ability and the ability to choose to do the things that we pursue, that we're passionate about. And so don't take that for granted. And it's really easy to do so when you're
yes.
in the gym 6 days a week like I was, and sometimes seven doing cardio, and I'm busting ass, and, you know, I'm big weight, and I squatted 1,000 pounds, and, you know, people think I'm badass and all that stuff. You start taking for granted, you know that it's a blessing that you know, it's not a given. You know, you are an injury away from being an average person.
Bingo.
And so you have to pay attention. And you know, this is something a friend told me, one of my closest friends. He goes, man makes plans and God laughs. You know, we can make all the plans we want to and life happens. So it's just like when I say the gym or the platform is a microcosm of the world, I tell guys all the time, You know, when you get to a meet, sometimes what is winning is in the adjustments that you make to what you've planned on happening. You know, well, you can plan on these attempts. You can plan on it's going to be this. You can do everything right, and you still have to make adjustments. Just stuff goes awry for some reason, and you have to, you know, to change that plan and make an adjustment to make it work. And that's what we're faced with here. So, you know, why be negative about it? You know, you've got your legs. You know, it's just like talking about the guy that with no feet, that's a long driving champion.
Right.
You know, it's like you know, you got your legs. You're going to work around it, and you're going to be the best that you can be given the circumstances that you have. And that's, you know, that's the positive that I, you know, I'm not the guy that I used to be, but I'm going to be the best that I can be right now. And my goal is still the same. I want to be as strong as I can for as long as I can. And when I can't do it anymore, then I'll find something else to do. I'll roll dice and try to beat everybody's ass in rolling dice.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And that's what I'm looking at. And that's why the discussion that Brooks had the other day on the show really has opened my eyes, because in my case, getting past an obstacle means abandoning the notion that I will be able to do things exactly as I've done in the past. But the relevance of that is important, because that doesn't mean that I can't do things differently and still achieve. I'm just going to have to change up my game. I mean, there's so many guys in the gym that don't even train legs, and they look great, and they're in great shape, and they're healthy. And I think, you know, so it's not the worst thing in the world if I'm relegated to leg pressing and leg extensions and some light leg curls. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world. That's it.
That's absolutely true.
Anyway, this is a great discussion. It's very cathartic for me to have you on the show today. I'm glad that we had a chance to do this, because I have a lot of respect for what you've achieved. I've never taken for granted what you have done, because I know how hard you've worked, and you have given your life to it. But a lot of people benefit from your journey as well, like myself. So I want to thank you so much for coming on the air today and talking about
that. Well, I really appreciate that. And you know, as always, if we have talked in private, you know, you're welcome at my place anytime. I'm a phone call away. You know, none of this, you know, as we get older, you know, you see what life can give you. And then, you know, if you live long enough, you see, you know, what is taken away. So, you know, that we gotta choose how this is going to affect us and find a way to be positive about it. And, you know, and be glad for the things that you've achieved and find positive ways to achieve new things.
Yeah, absolutely. Wade, thanks so much. And next time we're going to have Wes on the show, by the way.
In 2 weeks, yeah. Wesley will be joining us, and I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am about all that. Him being back in the same town that I live in and being part of the gym, he's been a breath of fresh air and pumped some new blood into the gym, and he keeps me in check. You know, you would always think that my job as the father is to always do that for him, but it has definitely been a process where, you know, he's, you know, keeping me positive and helping, keeping me motivated, and not to mention helping in the gym, which has been a godsend.
Yeah.
And the thing is, just understand, it's not just because he's my son. When he was training with the group, he was the second strongest guy in the group behind me, but he was my second pair of eyes. There is no one I know that understands mechanics, you know, better than him. And he will have some insight, you know, on your injury and, you know, and things to do and things for people to do, you know, about certain aches and pains and things like that. I mean, he's helped put me back together more than once.
Yeah. Yeah. And so ironically, he's a physical therapist today.
That is exact. I mean, there's a lot of work and sacrifice to get him through school to do that. But, you know, it was something that he was passionate about from, you know, when he was a little bitty guy. And, you know, to see him doing so well now, you know, that in and of itself is a blessing. But he's going to be a great asset, and I'm really excited and really looking forward to having him on and seeing how people respond to him.
All right, listen, that's in 2 weeks. Don't miss that show. Thanks a lot, Wade.
All right, Carl, be in touch.
All right, bye-bye. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we are going to talk about fermented foods with Jill Ciccarelli. It's going to be an interesting discussion, because I can tell you that fermented foods should be in your future if they're not already. Stay tuned.
It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send the military in there? We need to bomb Merck, because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
On Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about that?
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com. And click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Extreme Formulations is the only company with a dairy protein product with a disclosed 50% whey to 50% micellar casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It comes in 9 amazing flavors, including the newest lemon pie and butterscotch. Get free shipping on any order size inside the USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ultra Peptide 2.0 banner ad now. Canadian listeners can also get free shipping on 2 or more jugs of Ultra Peptide 2.0. Don't wait too long because this special won't last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad today.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre- intra and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. So whenever we do shows where we talk about the microbiome of the body, when the discussion of probiotics and prebiotics come up, we always end up talking to some degree about the benefits of fermented foods. My guest this hour is Jill Tuccarelli, and she has recently authored a book called Fermented, A Four-Season Approach to Paleo Probiotic Foods. How you doing, Jill?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. And ironically, right before we learned about your book, Elisa Profumo, who co-hosts the Friday show with me, said, you know, I'd really like to learn how to start fermenting my own foods, because we buy things. I'm a huge fan of sauerkraut, believe it or not. I love sauerkraut. And, of course, there's kimchi is another one of my favorites, although some of it can be a little spicy for me. And now kombucha is all popular. And it's like every time you turn around, fermented foods are starting to popularize what is available to those who are interested. So let me ask you this question first. How far back do we see fermented foods in our ancestral passage?
Well, it goes back thousands and thousands of years. This is something that's actually a little bit difficult to track. I mean, people have been eating foods that are, you know, I guess you could characterize them as semi-spoiled even before recorded time. But centuries, people have been eating food and using, semi-spoiled food as a way to preserve their what they have nearby, and notice that it's made them feel really good and made them feel, elevated their mood, made them physically feel good. So yeah, it's been going on for an extremely long time.
So the process of fermentation, explain what it is. That is it anaerobic? Is it aerobic? What exactly is fermented, for the process of fermentation?
Well, basically speaking, it's the introduction of bacteria and or yeast into food that will then produce alcohol at some times, it will produce carbon dioxide sometimes, it will produce different acids. So basically speaking, that's what it is. And typically it is an anaerobic process. When you think about making sauerkraut, you want the little bits of cabbage to be in an anaerobic environment. You want them to be below a water line, a brine line, so no oxygen can get in there, and no bacteria that thrive on oxygen can grow in that environment. So yeah, it is an anaerobic thing.
Okay, and so where does technically, I guess, making booze is a process of fermentation, isn't it? You ferment wine to make wine and grains to make other alcoholic products. If there's sugar in it, is there always alcohol as a byproduct?
Yes. The short answer to that is yes. But the amount in most things, you know, if it has a carbohydrate in it, yes, an alcohol is a byproduct. But it's such a small amount. I mean, if you ferment something like grapes to make wine, you're obviously going to have an enormous amount. However, if you ferment something like cabbage, the amount of alcohol in it is so minute that it's not even...
Well, they actually add sugar to the grapes in wine when they put them in the cask and seal it. So it's not just the resident sugar in the grapes that produces that level of alcohol. They add sugar to get these 13, 15, 17% alcohol wines.
Sure. Yeah.
So, why is fermented food? And so, I mean, we hear about the soy discussion. Soy is bad for you. They say, well, the Asians eat soy, but they eat a fermented soy called tempeh, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And so, natto is another type of fermented soy.
Oh, is that what I always get on my chips? Oh, I'm kidding. Anyway, why are fermented foods better for us?
Well, it does a few things. First, my background is in nutritional counseling, so one of the reasons, one of the very basic reasons why I like fermented food is because it's a different way to preserve food, or excuse me, it's a different way to prepare food, and it makes your food taste a little different. So a lot of my clients who are reluctant to eat vegetables or don't, you know, have an exciting palate, it's a different way to prepare something that they might not like in the first place. So it kind of spices up your diet. It makes it a little bit more exciting.
What about from the standpoint of, I've heard that, okay, so we know grain is bad for us, but I've also heard that back in, you know, prehistoric times, I mean biblical times, let's say, that grains were either sprouted, fermented, or unleavened, and that the fermentation process kind of deactivates what we have learned is bad about grains, the lectins, the anti-nutrients. Is that true?
That is exactly true, and people today still sprout and ferment their grains for just that reason.
So really, fermentation, for those people who love grains, but are torn by the message that grains are bad for you, fermentation could actually let them enjoy grains again.
Right. There are a lot of people who have one foot in the paleo community and one foot in, say, the Weston A. Price community, who still want to have grains in their diet in one way or another, but are torn because there's so much information out there about how bad they can be, do take that route. They do ferment and sprout their grains. You know, to what degree that they eat these grains, if they're eating them all the time or every day, that's a personal decision. But there are people who kind of skirt the line between those two eating paradigms by doing this.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. I've got lots of questions. We're talking right now with Jill Ciccarelli. Her book is called Fermented. And you can learn more about the book by going to the website firstcomeshealth.com. And, of course, the book is available where finer books are sold. But check out the website first, firstcomeshealth.com. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Carl Lenore.
The FDA has exceeded all of its previous levels of being sinister and corrupt by trying to poison this country by forcing us to eat genetically modified foods without knowing they're GMO foods, while trying to obstruct our access to natural foods that are grown right in our hometown.
Empowering the people and telling it like it is.
They're corrupt, they're sinister, they're disgusting. And we're never going to have a politician with any real chutzpah to stop the FDA. That's the sad part. So we have to stop them ourselves. By the pressure has to push back. Keep supporting your family farm.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Jill Ciccarelli about her new book, Fermented. Okay, so Jill, how could fermentation be paleo? Is there any evidence that foods ended up being naturally fermented in the environment that our ancestors could have come upon? Or is this a process that required human intervention?
This is something that does require human intervention. And I myself, and maybe a listener out there may know a little bit more about this specific question, but I myself am not aware of anything that was stumbled upon in the Paleolithic era that was directly fermented.
Right.
You know, there are bacterium in the air and on food and all over everything that we are and everything that we touch that are good for fermentation, and probably somewhere out there naturally occurring were foods being fermented. But in order to ensure that the process was done properly and for human benefit rather than something that could turn out to be dangerous,
right,
it does require something, a human intervention or some type of controlled environment that we keep an eye on periodically.
How does fermented food improve or benefit the microbiota in the gut?
Well, it repopulates that gut biome that we have. It, you know, what we have in there right now in a nice, normal, healthy body can only stay that way for a certain amount of time, and we need to provide the type of environment that will keep that existing population going. And we also need to repopulate the guys who die off and get old and aren't of use to us anymore. So it is, I liken it to like a military presence in our gut. We need to refresh the people who were there, keep them strong, keep them healthy, and make sure that the conditions that they live in are beneficial to them.
What role does lactic acid play in this whole process? I guess lactic acid is a byproduct of the fermentation process, right?
Exactly.
Is that why fermented foods tend to have that tart, almost bite your tongue type of feel?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's where the term lacto-fermentation comes from. It refers to that lactic acid. A lot of people think lacto means something to do with milk, and that's not necessarily true. I mean, we can ferment milk, of course, but it doesn't refer to lactose. It refers to lactic acid.
And what role does lactic acid, does consuming foods that have been converted to producing lactic acid provide any special value for our health, our body, or is it just an innocuous byproduct of the fermentation process?
It's an innocuous byproduct, but then it also is the medium in which these lactobacillus bacteria are able to flourish. And those are one type of bacteria that is very common in our gut.
Probiotics have become very sophisticated today. I happen to take one regularly called VSL3, which has 8 non-competing forms of probiotic in it. There are some out there with even more. We hear about all of these unique probiotic forms now that are being employed to help people. And even with all that, we seem to fall short of what our ancestors actually had in their gut. I think it was estimated that in our early beginnings, we had 22,000 different types of colony-forming units of different types in our gut, and today we have like 6,000. So clearly, the microbiome is kind of being thinned, and there is extinction of some. Could fermented foods help to repopulate in some of these obscured forms of probiotics?
The answer is yes, in theory. However, we live in a much different environment, and it's harder to capture these things. I mean, if they're not there to culture, they're not going to culture. And because our food environment, our physical environment that we live in, whether we live, you know, I live in a big city, so the air that I breathe and the things that are alive around me are different than someone might live in the country, but still, even that environment's changed. So it's a very hard battle to fight, because while we might be able to recapture some of these types of bacteria that our long ago ancestors had, the world is changing, and hopefully these things aren't totally lost. But that's one of the controversies within fermentation today is, you know, okay, fine, we can ferment our food, but this isn't something that we can directly replicate the way people centuries ago did because of that very thing.
You know, it's interesting. We did a show not too long ago about the study done in the Old Order Amish, and they have a much more diversified microbiome than we do, and they also work hands-on in the fields. They work hands-on with animals, and I worked on the racetrack when I was a kid in New York, and I talked about this on the show before that, you know, when you work with animals, horses, large animals, you know, you're not washing your hands every 5 minutes, and when you eat lunch, you know, I may have had my hands in horse urine or even horse poop 15, 20 minutes earlier than that. And then, you know, I wipe my hands off and eat, but some of that residue is left behind, and I end up eating it as well. And,
sure.
And so I wonder if the part of the problem with the deficiency in diversity in human microbiome is the fact that we become this ultra-sterile world combined with the high number of C-sections, because we know that our first introduction to these bacteria is as we pass through our mother's birth canal.
Absolutely.
You know,
yes.
All these things, we've kind of diminished the quality and diversity of the microbiome. So maybe we just need to start getting dirty more often.
I'm a strong advocate of this. I say that one of the things that I think we're doing is we're washing our hands too much. And you said it. I mean, I can't honestly say I'm going out there and, you know, having my hands literally in the horse poop or horse urine, but you know, I'm not washing my hands 50 times a day. I'm not using antibacterial gel all over me. We all need a little bit of bacteria in our lives. I totally agree that, you know, we've become so sterile. And it's interesting that you brought up the issue about the increase in C-sections, because this is something that I don't think a lot of people know about, that a traditional vaginal birth is, like you said, our very first introduction to that microbiome. And without it, you know, we're changing our own environment.
Yes, yes. What role does yeast play in the fermentation process? Is it the bacteria that we are cultivating? And if so, are there unique forms of yeast out there we should strive to get?
Well, with the kind of fermentation that I talk about in Fermented, I basically rely on lactofermentation, which of course includes some yeast, but not always. So I can't really point my finger to a specific type of yeast that we are getting. But yes, there are definitely types of fermentation that rely on specific types of yeast. I mean, in, you know, if you're making hard cider or wine or anything like that, or if you're making kombucha, it requires bacteria and yeast together. Different types of ferments do require them both to work in symbiosis, but I can't point my finger to a specific one.
Are fermented foods probiotic or prebiotic or both?
It depends on the type. Probiotic is most commonly associated with fermented foods. Prebiotic,
fiber is considered prebiotic, especially some types of fiber more so than others, right?
Right.
So obviously if you're producing fermented vegetables of some sort and they contain fiber, I would have to believe that the fiber is not denatured or broken down in the fermentation process, or is it? Because it is a glucose. I mean, it is a sugar basically.
It is broken down to a point. It's not completely denatured, but it is broken down to a point.
Yeah, so maybe it is not as prebiotic as we may want it
as
to be.
As we hope, right.
So this book details how to ferment anything you want. I mean, you talk about how to make kombucha in this book, right?
Yes, that's my favorite thing to ferment.
And see, I got to tell you something. I've said this before. If you buy a book, any book, I don't care if it's a workout book, a cookbook, you get one recipe from it, you get one workout from it that works for you. That book was a great value. People spend stupid amounts of money on kombucha all day long. Make your own.
I know. Well, that's what got me into it, that I was spending, you know, $3.50 for a little 12-ounce bottle and trying to incorporate that into my life on a daily or, you know, daily basis or several times a week. And I thought, why am I spending my money on this? And then a friend approached me and asked me if I wanted a kombucha starter, and I thought, oh gosh, I don't have the equipment or the time. I don't know how to do it. It's probably super difficult. And once I, you know, became a little educated on just how simple it is and how little equipment it requires, off I went, because it is cost pennies to make. I don't know why everyone's not making it themselves.
Well, okay, so let's talk about starters for a minute before we go into the next break. I've made kefir before from raw unpasteurized milk, and a guy was nice enough to give me kefir grains. But the problem with kefir grains is it's like having a baby. If you're not rotating things all the time, it's like you can't go away from the weekend unless you have somebody who can take the kefir grains out, put them in some more milk, put it back in the cupboard. It's like, oh my God, I have to become a kefir, supervisor for the rest of my life. I ended up just letting the kefir grains. Yeah. Exactly. A kefir keeper. I ended up just letting the grains dry up. I was like, oh man, this is ridiculous. So is it like that with the kombucha starter as well?
No, it's not quite, as that heavy of a responsibility. Right now I have many, many kombucha SCOBYs in my kitchen, and I keep them in larger jars, like gallon-sized jars with sweetened tea, and they just live there very content for, many weeks, and I don't really have to do anything with them. They grow a little bit, and I freshen the tea periodically, but they are much more low maintenance starter than kefir grains.
So, and for those who don't know, a SCOBY is a symbiotic colony of bacteria and yeast, right?
Yes, okay. That's exactly right. Sorry.
Okay, so, no, that's okay, because they may think you're talking about Scooby snacks from the Scooby-Doo cartoon. So can I make kombucha out, you said tea, can I make kombucha out of any liquid that I can infuse like ginger into or whatever?
Well, the basis for it is you have to use actual real tea if you're going to make kombucha. So black tea, green tea, oolong tea, some types of rooibos tea are all very good for making kombucha. If you want to just, ferment any kind of liquid, I often refer people to using water kefir grains to do that. They're a little bit more forgiving, whereas a kombucha SCOBY, using that specific type of starter responds well to actual tea.
Okay. So you just can't use any type of water. So so kefir starts out with a tea. Kombucha starts out with a tea. I didn't realize that.
Then
you can add anything you want to. You can add slivers of ginger or pulverized ginger. You can add other things to it, right?
Absolutely. The sky's the limit. I mean, you can drink it plain. You can ferment the tea and drink it as is, and it tastes great. Or you can, get really creative and add tons of different flavorings.
What's your favorite kefir recipe that you have in the book? I mean, why do I keep saying kefir? I want to slap myself. What's your favorite kombucha recipe that you have in the book?
My favorite one, and it's probably the most elementary and simple, is lemon lime. I love to juice a couple of lemons and a couple of limes and put it together, and it seems almost like, oh my gosh, that's almost a no-brainer, and it is. But it's basic and it's excellent.
How long does it take for it to turn into kombucha once you do the preparatory work? And then what do you do? Refrigerate it while it's doing this, or
you don't refrigerate it. You want it to be in a warm room temperature environment. It takes anywhere from a week to 2.5 or 3 weeks, depending on the ambient temperature in your house. I mean, for me, my home tends to be kind of warm, so it doesn't take very long. But if someone lives in a cooler place, or it's winter time, or both, it can take a little bit longer.
Okay. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Jill Cicciarelli. We're talking about her book, Fermented, A Four-Season Approach to Paleo Probiotic Foods. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Carl Lenore.
I want to live longer. I want to be stronger. I want to be healthier. And I want everybody to come along.
Calling out the daytime television quacks.
I want to see Dr. Oz do those things in the gym. He's out there telling people how to be stronger, be healthier, look better, live longer. Let's see him put himself to the test. Let's see any of these people do the things that we do in this audience here.
Motivating the people.
We are the true superhumans.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all change with the Quest Bar, not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Are you still putting toxic toothpastes in your mouth? Still brushing with sodium lauryl sulfate, which is related to canker sores and gum recession? You've heard a lot of people in the Superhuman Nation talk about how much they love Aura MD. Carl and Elisa won't brush with anything else. Now get a free bottle of Aura MD and see what all the excitement's about. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aura MD banner ad today. You cover shipping and we'll give you a free bottle for first-time customers only. What are you waiting for? The best toothpaste alternative is just a click away. Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per house. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Okay, so here's something that I learned from the book that I didn't know. And we're going to talk about fermenting meat right now, right? So when I first saw the chapter on fermented meats, I immediately thought of Agnes van der Planitz and high meat that he talks about the American, what's the word I'm looking at? I don't want to say, the Native Americans, I have to be politically correct, used to eat, which is basically a form of rotting meat, but that's not what it is. Corned beef is a form of fermented meat. I would have never guessed that, Jill.
I know, that's something that whenever people ask me, oh, what's fermented food and have I ever had fermented food? And I, whenever I say corned beef, people are like, oh my gosh, for real, I can't believe that's fermented, but it is.
Now, okay, so let's talk about this for a second. So corned beef is traditionally served with cabbage and or potatoes. Cabbage is a fantastic prebiotic.
Right.
Corned beef obviously has some probiotic benefits. We're talking about a really healthy meal here from the standpoint of improving the microbiome of the digestive tract.
Yeah, you have to be careful, though, however, with corned beef and other meats or any other food, actually, that you've fermented. Unless you're eating it raw, you're not getting the probiotic boost to it. So if you can ferment, you know, a brisket and make it into corned beef, but then if you cook it, you've basically destroyed all of the probiotic benefit that you would have gotten.
Yeah, you killed the bacteria. It's like pasteurization.
Yeah.
You're killing anything that's good.
Right.
Well, you know, this is an audience that eats raw meat, so obviously,
go for it.
Okay, but aside from the probiotic value, what value does fermentation provide for meats? Is it a tenderizer?
I've not found it to be, but it could be, if depending on how long you let it ferment. You know, if you're making corned beef, the texture will change. I can't say that it turns it that much more tender. But to me, the benefit is that it tastes great. I mean, and also the way that it originally started was that it was a way to preserve meat for people who, you know, had to rely on specific seasons for food.
Yeah, I guess but you also talk about in this particular area that sodium nitrate is used. Is that right?
Yeah, you can use it. It's not required, but it is possible. I mean, I included it in the book because I thought there are some people who don't want to take the chance of, you know, dosing themselves with botulism, and other people, you know, don't feel comfortable using it. So I give several options in the book.
Does the sodium nitrate create an environment where botulism will not proliferate?
Yes. Yeah. It doesn't 100% guarantee it, but it really, really reduces the chances.
What about things like sauerkraut? Do you tell people how to make sauerkraut? Because that's something I could use a lot of.
Yeah. In fact, the first half of the book is basic fermentation styles, basic recipes. And you can, you know, lacto-ferment any type of shredded vegetable, and the recipe that I use to teach the style of that is cabbage and to make sauerkraut. So, yeah, that's definitely included, and I love it. You know, you have people out there who are doing it by the barrel. I myself don't have access to a barrel or the room to store a barrel, so I always tend to do small batches, and I encourage people who are just getting into fermentation to start with small batches of something to see if they like it, to, you know, make sure that they're doing it correctly.
And come up with their recipe of, because obviously spices play a large role in the fermentation process, right?
Well, it definitely is a place where people can get creative. You can take a cabbage and cut it up and, you know, put a little salt on it and not put any spices in it, and it'll turn out perfectly great.
Really?
Oh yeah, definitely. It's a total blank slate food that you don't have to add anything to, and it'll taste really wonderful. But you can add any kind of spices that you want to. You know, people add caraway seeds or coriander or different peppers and garlic or whatever. Yeah, that's something I encourage in fermented, is start with these basic things, try this technique out, and once you feel comfortable with that, go crazy. There are so many different things you can do.
Well, you just mentioned garlic. So you actually have a recipe in here for fermented garlic. I'm a huge fan of roasted garlic.
Me too.
And garlic in general, being Italian, as you are as well. I wonder if, does fermented garlic taste different than, I mean, is the flavor a vast change from just roasted or raw garlic?
Well, to me, raw garlic is almost tickles my nose. It's very sharp. And roasted garlic is very, very mild.
It
has, you know, such that buttery texture and that smoothness that you get. With fermented garlic, it's almost like a pickle. It's almost crisp and has that, not the sharp tickle your nose tang to it the way I find raw garlic to be, but has that freshness that would go well with, you know, fermented meats or a cheese plate if you're a dairy person. It tends to be, to my palate, a little bit more of a pickle.
You also have fermented condiments in here, which I thought was really interesting. I've not seen that in any cookbooks before, or recipe books, let's say, because you're not talking about cooking per se. Curry ketchup. I'm trying to think. There was a couple other ones that I remember seeing. Tzatziki. So
my favorite.
Good. I'm sorry.
The wasabi mayo in there. I love.
But now, is tzatziki sauce traditionally fermented? Is that how they make it, or is this a fermented version of tzatziki sauce?
Well, it's typically made from yogurt, which is a fermented product. So that's where the fermentation part comes from. In that particular recipe, you're taking something that's already fermented and jazzing it up to make a certain type of sauce, whereas with curry ketchup or the wasabi mayonnaise or the mustard recipe that's in there, you're taking something that's not fermented per se and
jazzing
then you're
it up.
Right.
Yeah. when we talk about things like yogurt and stuff like that, is it possible to create a yogurt and add, you know, half a dozen capsules, you know, break them open of a broad spectrum probiotic to it to help create the culture? Or is that a mistake to even try?
I don't think it's a mistake. I think a lot of people actually are out there doing that, not even just with yogurt, but with any type of ferment. I've seen people use it where they've chopped up, you know, cabbage or kale or a variety of greens and then added a capsule to it and used that as, in essence, a bacterial starter. I don't think it's a mistake. People are doing it.
Because you know what I've done in the past, and it's maybe at first I thought it was reckless, but then when I didn't get sick from it, I thought it was a good idea. So raw and pasteurized milk, when it goes bad, it doesn't get rancid. It actually turns into what tastes like sour cream, but it's not as thick as sour cream, and
right.
It's still very drinkable. So I've never really thrown away, unless in the worst cases, if I've gone out of town and come back and it's all clumpy, I've never really thrown away a raw and pasteurized milk as it turns. So one day I decided I had about a quarter of a gallon that was turning. I took it out of the fridge, and I put in about a dozen probiotic capsules, you know, took them out of the gelatin, sprinkled in there, shook it up, and put it in my cupboard. And I forgot about it for about a week. And I went back, and it was thick. It was thick like a store-bought yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a bunch of sips of it. I thought, this really tastes good. And it had that, you know, fermented foods have an almost micro-effervescent
right.
feel to them, you know, and it had that. And I thought, you know, and I drank the whole thing. I didn't get sick. I will admit that my stomach did gurgle a lot that evening, but it wasn't like I was getting sick. I thought, well, maybe it's still like fermenting in my stomach, you know, it's still doing its thing. And I thought, wow, you can probably make your own yogurt this way.
Well, a lot of people do. I mean, typically the way people make yogurt is that they start with milk. They add either a little bit of a previous batch of yogurt or a bit of store-bought yogurt or something that they've gotten from a farm, and they inoculate it with that known quantity of yogurt, that known quantity of bacterial strain that worked for a previous batch of yogurt. And then, you know, you sit it out in a warm place and let it ferment for a few hours, and poof, you have yogurt. So you basically just did that in slow motion, but
yeah.
I think you might have really overwhelmed it with a huge amount of bacteria. If you put a dozen pills in there into a quart of milk, it was bubbling.
Yeah, it was bubbling.
Yeah. There were a lot of bacteria in there, probably having the time of their lives.
I was just going to say it was a bacteria house party.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our last commercial break, and we're going to wrap up the interview. We're talking with Jill Ticciarelli. Her book is called Fermented, A Four-Season Approach to Paleo Probiotic Foods. You can get it by going to firstcomeshealth.com. Check it out. We'll be right back.
There's something comforting about knowing he's out there.
Government is in place because it assumes that people are too stupid to care for themselves.
By your side.
Government has to take up the parental role of teaching people what to do.
Fighting the good fight.
Government has to get out of people's pantries, first of all. They can't legislate health.
He's Carl Lenore on Super Human Radio.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Extreme Formulations is the only company with a dairy protein product with a disclosed 50% whey to 50% micellar casein ratio.
2.0. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It comes in 9 amazing flavors, including the newest lemon pie and butterscotch. Get free shipping on any order size inside the USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ultra Peptide 2.0 banner ad now. Canadian listeners can also get free shipping on 2 or more jugs of Ultra Peptide 2.0. Don't wait too long because this special won't last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad today.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wise Choice Medicine. Medicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Woo! Woo!
Welcome back. We're talking with Jill Ticciarelli. We're talking about her book, Fermented. Interestingly enough, the book, and it says, a four-season approach to paleo probiotic. It's set up by what's available seasonally, which I think is genius. It's brilliant because it makes those. I mean, well, you know, it's like we talk all the time about the importance of availability in this whole paleo model. You know, we didn't have oranges in the sun, in the wintertime. We didn't have milk in the wintertime quite often as well. For those who are, you know, lacto approved paleo or primal, whatever you want to call yourself. And so, it's important to exclude some of these foods on a seasonal basis because that's how we evolved. And at the same time, it's important to understand what's available by season. And this book is set up that way, which is really nice. Can you ferment anything made out of coffee, Jill?
Well, coffee itself is fermented. I mean, the coffee comes from a little berry, and they typically will ferment that right off of the seed.
Really?
And, yeah. I used to work for a coffee company, so I had to be a little bit well-versed in that. But, yeah, that it itself is fermented, just like chocolate is also fermented. I mean, these aren't probiotic-rich foods, so we don't typically associate them with
especially because you boil, because then you put boiling water in there, which would have the same effect as cooking. I would imagine it would destroy anything.
Exactly, yeah. But, yeah, you could flavor things with flavor something fermented with coffee.
Oh.
I actually, even though I did work for that coffee company for a while, I don't like coffee, so it doesn't appeal to me. So I guess you could, but I'm not interested in doing it myself.
What about other fermented juices? I see you have something in here called carrot. Is it pronounced kvass? Kvass?
Kvass, yes. Kvass.
What is that?
It's just a different type of beverage. Typically, kvasses are used as tonics, and it's kind of a way to get some concentrated fruit or even more commonly vegetable juice into you, where you're getting the essence of that vegetable and the probiotic benefit, but it's not like sitting around drinking kombucha or water kefir and, you know, getting a lot of stuff out of it. It's meant to be drunk in just a small quantity. And like I said, it's typically vegetable juice. So if someone prefers vegetable juice to tea or doesn't like tea or doesn't like fruit juices or something else doesn't appeal to them, that's just another option. I really like fermented beverages. I think fermented beverages are a really good way to get people to explore fermentation and get their probiotics from real food, but they might be afraid to, you know, let a jar of food sit out in their cabinet for a couple of weeks. So I think fermented beverages are a really great way to get people introduced to fermentation.
Well, and fermented beverages could be a wonderful thing for a parent who has adapted to a healthy lifestyle and is having trouble with their children switching off of some of the things that we know are no good, because, as I said earlier, fermented beverages have an almost effervescent, like micro bubbles that you find in the finest champagne in them. So you have that almost fizzy taste to things. And depending on what you're fermenting, I would imagine that it's as flavorful as some artificially flavored, you know, a kid's drink.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's something that I really like. I mentioned how kombucha was, you know, the first thing I started fermenting. It's still my favorite thing to do because you can dress it up like soda pop, and you can make it be fizzy, and you can make it taste fruity, and it can be a terrific substitute for somebody who's coming off of, you know, a pop diet who, you know, drinks pop all the time. This is a really great way to substitute something healthy and positive in place of something that wasn't doing them any good.
Have you seen any, or have you had any stories, and I know they would be anecdotal, after someone has bought the book and they started using these, for whatever reason, they said, hey, you know, I've had this stomach problem and it went away when I started to eat more fermented foods and drink more fermented drinks?
I've not been contacted by anyone who's read the book and done that, but my story is exactly that. I mean, I had a very healthy diet, but just had stomach issues. I had seasonal depression. I had bad skin problems. And once I started incorporating fermented food into my life, those things, you know, over time went away. So if you want to talk about an example of one, this is one reason why I'm so passionate about the topic, is because it really has done a lot of good in my life.
And do you think it's important to have some fermented food every day, or is that excessive? Is that beneficial?
I think it's beneficial to have something every day. However, I think, you know, we tend as human beings to think if a little bit is good,
a lot is better.
A lot is great. Right. And that is not the case with fermented food.
Really?
Definitely have some every day, but, you know, guzzling bottle after bottle of a fermented beverage, or having, you know, a bowl of sauerkraut, for example, you know, is very much overkill. I have a little bit of something every day, whether it's, you know, a 6-ounce glass of kombucha or a small, perhaps like half cup serving of sauerkraut or fermented carrots, just something every day, typically with my breakfast, but that's just my personal choice. Something every day. It just kind of keeps you at a really nice level of feeling good, and it keeps your biome very healthy, but it does not take a lot to keep you at that level. And you can actually do damage to yourself if you eat too much of this. And like I said, people have a tendency to, you know,
How so? What can happen? Could it disrupt the digestive system?
Absolutely can disrupt the digestive system. You can get, you know, small intestine bacterial
overgrowth
is common if your gut biome is not healthy, but you can get an overgrowth of the good guys in there too. And long term, people have been starting to study folks who eat an enormous amount of fermented food, and over the long term, it's starting to be linked with stomach cancer. So
really,
a very little amount is perfect.
Just right, and too much, and you'll know if you're having too much because your friends won't want to sit next to you any longer.
Right.
Because you become flatulated.
Right. You'll want to stick close to home, you know, if you can read between the lines there.
Yeah. One of the things that I like about fermented foods like kimchi and sauerkraut is that once they're fermented, and if you keep them in the fridge, they last forever. They have an amazing shelf life, don't they?
Yes. In fact, I tell the story, and sometimes people roll their eyes, but I think it's incredible. On the front of the book, I have a little jar. There's a picture of several different things that I have fermented. There's a little jar of kumquats, the little orange
kumquats.
Oh, yeah,
I see them, yeah, on the right, okay.
This photo was taken months and months and months and months ago. I still have them in my refrigerator. I pull a couple out every now and then and will, you know, throw them in different dishes, but I still have them in there. That was, in fact, now that I'm thinking about it, it might have been almost a year ago that that picture was taken. And I still have them. They're still good. They're still preserved. So you're right. Things that are fermented last a very long time. And that's an awesome thing about fermentation is that you can take stuff that's in season and preserve it and have it during the times of year when it's hard to get or expensive to get. I love that about fermentation.
I have a pouch of kimchi that's well over a year old. And it was just too spicy for me. Mm-hmm. But every now and then, for some reason, I'll want a little forkful of it. And I just open the pouch up. I stick the fork in. I take a forkful. I close it back up. And it's still good. I don't stick the fork back in it after it's been in my mouth because I don't want to contaminate it with anything. Because then something will grow in there. But the reality is by just, you know, sealing it back up and keeping it in the fridge, it's still good. And that's amazing to me because you talk about a value. You ferment something and you will eat every bit of it. You won't throw some of it. You won't go, oh, well, that's old. We got to throw it away. It turned. No, it doesn't turn. It stays good.
That's right. I mean, whenever it's refrigerated and stored properly in like I said, either the fridge or a cold place in your house, the fermentation process never actually shuts off, but it slows down to almost nothing. I mean, it will very slowly, incrementally still ferment. So flavors can develop. You know, you might taste something and say, well, this is great. It's fermented. I like it just the way it is and put it in the refrigerator. And months later, when you go to it, the flavors have developed a little bit. Sometimes things have mellowed or gotten a little bit more tangy. It's wonderful.
And for those of you out there who want fermented food that creates fun, you've got some recipes in here for making like hard apple cider and stuff, right?
Right. In fact, as soon as we're done here with the show, I'm actually bottling some hard apple cider. 'Tis the season.
Oh, how awesome. Yes,
I know.
That's
I'm very
awesome.
Excited.
Listen, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. I've got to believe that you're getting lots of feedback from people. This is a great alternative to food preparation that is mundane. And like I said before, it lasts forever once you do it. And there's so many recipes in this book. You've got to find one or two things that become family favorites and save you a bundle of money, too, especially if you're buying kombucha. You know what I mean?
Right.
The website is firstcomeshealth.com. Check it out. Get the book. And then please let me know what you think of it. Jill, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Carl. I had a blast. Thanks.
Take care. All right, so there you have it. Also, thanks to Wade Johnson for coming on during the first hour for the Get Strong show with Wade Johnson. I feel really good. I almost feel like a weight has been lifted. That interview was cathartic for me. Hearing me say some of those words were really important, and I appreciate those of you who bared through it and listened to me. And we'll see you tomorrow with Casual Friday. Since I'm not having surgery, we're doing radio tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Asking the hard questions.
Where are the convictions for the drugs that are being used right now that are killing people?
The government is too afraid to answer.
You see all the attorneys. Hey, if you develop cancer after taking this supplement, call our law office because we got a class action suit coming together.
Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On Superhuman Radio.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
If you're taking more than